Today's Shir Masechta Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. As we had learned extensively at the beginning of a Masechta, if a Shor Hamud kills somebody, the halacha is that the animal is put to death and they have to pay kofer the value, posh pshat, the value of the victim. If the animal that did the damage was a shor tam, the animal is put to, which is the kofer payment. If the animal was a tam, the animal is put to death, but there is no financial obligation. If an animal does damage, so as we had learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the tam pays chatzi nezek, but that chatzi nezek is paid megufoy, it's paid from the value of the animal. The payment can never exceed the value of the animal that did the damage. And if the animal that did the damage was a mu'ud, then you pay nezek sholem. And not only do you pay nezek sholem, but you pay nezek sholem min aliyah, even from whatever the assets the person has. Begins the Gemara Taran Arbonon, shor tam. If you have an animal to the tam, Shehemis, that killed somebody, the Hizik, and then it did damage to somebody, it caused loss. Donan Oisodin and Afashus, we killed the animal, as we just said, an animal that kills, whether it's a Tam or Mu'ud, is put to death. However, ain't Donan Oisodin Mamas, because since this animal is supposed to be killed, as we just said, so the animal has no value, and when a short time, as we said, does damage, the payment is always migufay from the value of the animal. And this animal, as we just finished describing, has no value. Whereas mu'ud shehemis for hizik, if a mu'ud killed and did damage, donar so dinim mominus. First, we have to evaluate how much the dinim mominus is, and then chayzun soy dinim fashus, and then we do the dinim fashus for the fact that it killed somebody. Kadmu v'donu adinin nefashis. If they reversed the order and they first dealt with the fact that it killed somebody, ein chayzun oisai v'donu mamonis, we don't then deal with the fact that it damaged somebody. Ask the Gemara, why? V'chi kadmu v'donu adinin nefashis, even if they had judged him the dinin nefashis first, may have, why should that prevent us? The lehed of adinai nami mamonis. That we should be able afterwards to do the dinim mamonis. Why should one not have to do, what does one have to do with the other? Answers the Gemara, Avra Rava, Ishkechtinu l'Rabbanon de Beirav. I found the Rabbanon from the yeshiva that were discussing this, and they said the Yassi v'Kamri, they were sitting and discussing this question. They said, Hamani, who is the opinion of this brisa reflect? It follows the opinion of Shimon HaTamanihi, Dama Ma Egrif Miyuchat Shemosel Eidel Eidem. We discussed in the brisa at the end of our previous year that the way the animal was killed, or the way damage was done, we have to evaluate, assess if it's able to do so. Alma Be'inan Umdan Be'edina, Bezin has to evaluate and assess if it could have done the damage, whether it was killed, whether it killed somebody or wounded somebody, for her, but we, this animal, kiven, the gomadina l'ktala, once this mood was destined to be killed, once it was destined to be killed, l'mishihin and l'umdin l'beidina, we don't delay it to wait that we should, Bezdin should assess if it could have done this damage, l'mishihin and dina, we kill it immediately. And the rishonim discuss why is that the halacha? Because certainly, when a person is sentenced, there's a concept of inui hadin, as the Gemara often discusses, that we have to immediately kill the person and not make him suffer and wait until he's put to death. But that's by a person. Why is this the halacha by an animal? By a person, as all the Rishonim explain, as all the Rishonim explain, there's a concept of a haftal rach kamaicha.
So if the person is sentenced and we now make him wait until he'll be punished, that is cruel to make him sit and wait for that punishment. But why would? But there is obviously no concept of a haftal racha kamoicha by an animal. So why by an animal is there a rule that we can't wait? So there are two main reasons that I saw that the Mefarshim give. One is that kamisas habalim, kach misas ashar. The Torah very often connects the two halachas. And since, as we just finished explaining, by a person, because of the concept of haftal racha kamoicha, we don't delay. So that's why by an animal, we also, kamisas habalim, kach misas ashar, we treat the animal the same way. Another explanation that I saw is because why there's a halacha in the Torah teaches us, we have to immediately eliminate any ra in the world. If this animal is an animal that did such serious damage, we have an obligation of eliminating the animal and not waiting around until we have to do any assessment. Says the Gemara, but Minalana, and Rava continues to say, Afil Tam Rabbi Kiva, even according to Rabbi Kiva, that there's no need for evaluation, and therefore there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do the din in Mamnis, Hochamai Skinen, this Bryce is referring to a situation, Kigoin Shaborach. The owner of this animal ran away after the animal was sentenced, and now the Aloch is, we've learned earlier in our Masechta, that an owner of an animal who did damage cannot be sentenced Shaloi Befonov. And since this owner ran away, and the Aloch is, Rashi explains, Ein Chavon L'Adam El Befonov. We can't sentence the person when he's not here. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Rambam learns Pshat in the Gemara is that the animal ran away. And since the animal ran away, we are supposed to collect the damages from the animal itself. And the animal is not here, so therefore we can't do so. Says the Gemara, E Barach, but again, we're going to learn like Rashi. If we're speaking about a situation where the owner ran away, Kleidonu B'din in Nefashis, even if they didn't deal with the deed in Nefashis, Heichadei Ninalei, how could they have undertaken that in Torah? We can't make a person guilty. We can't make a person guilty for what his animal did if he's not there. The Kabul Sadeh answers the Gemara. What happened was the Kabul Sadeh Barach. Not that he wasn't here. The Edom said the Edus while he was still there. And then he ran away. Says the Gemara, Saif Saif Hechem Mishtalim. How will the Nizik collect any payment if the person, the owner of the animal, is not here? He ran away. How will he be able to pay his obligation? Answers the Gemara, Mirija. That they'll have the animal work, and whatever value there is to that work will be given to the victim. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Tam Nedaina Dina Mamanus Bereisha. So why don't we have a Tam that killed and also did damage? First, let's deal with the din in Mamanus. And yes, certainly by a Tam de Zalocha, we only pay from from Gufoy, so let him work, and we'll have income from the work of this Tam, Nishtalim b'dirijah, and that's how the victim will be able to get paid, for Hadar, the Dina, din in Nefashis, and then we'll do the din in Nefashis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Amari b'reidah of Kana Zois Ameres, Rija Aliyah de Marahu. When we speak about Gufa and Aliyah, when we speak about an animal, a tam, getting the damages being paid from the Gufa of the animal, says the Gemara, Gufa of the animal means from the value of the animal itself. But income that the animal brings in because it's used for working, that's not called Gufa. And since, as we started our shiur by saying, that a tam always pays Migufoy, so paying for the damages from the work that the town will do is not an option, because that would not be considered megufay. That would be considered min haliyah, which we don't make the town pay that way. So telling us to go work with the animal and get income from its work is not an option. Ask the Gemari, Bailuhu, Yesh Amilin Zakin, if something did damage, do we have to evaluate if it's something that could do damage, or ain't Tzarech Amilin Zakin, or it's not necessarily? And the Gemara explains its question. And the Achrayim explain that when we're speaking about Amilin Zakin, we're speaking about the way to look at it is not just at the mazik. Is this a mazik that would do damage, or able to do this type of damage or not? We also have to look at the nizik. Maybe this person was very sick, and that's why he was killed, and not that this animal necessarily could kill or wound in this fashion. Do we say that only when an animal killed a person is there a concept of making this assessment? Do we evaluate, would this animal have the ability to kill somebody? This, it wouldn't have the ability. To do damage is not that complicated. And since doing damage is not that complicated, there's no need for assessment, because damage could always be done. That just like we do an assessment for Misa, so too the halacha would be for Nezakin. And I saw the real Milonil explains the Gemara. When it speaks about Misa, the Torah says, Be'evin Yad Ashiyam Espa Huko. So the Torah clearly tells us to look at the weapon, how this person died. And we need to make the assessment, what really happened here. And the Gemara's question is, do we say that the halachas of Nezakin are the same as the halacha of Misa or not? Toshma, we learned earlier on Daf Nuram Beis, when the Mishnah was teaching us, when the Mishnayis were teaching us about the halachas of bor. And the halacha is that any type of bor that could kill is considered a bor, that is deep enough that somebody could die or get hurt, as we're going to learn, it's considered a bor. And the Gemash Mishnah said, "Ma bor kishesh b'deil hamis asar tefachim." Only a bor that's 10 tefachim deep has the ability to kill. Af kol kishesh b'deil hamis. Any type of bor that is a bor has to be deep enough that it could kill, which is asar tefachim. Hay pchusim asar tefachim. But if the bor is not 10 tefachim deep, v'nafal tachas shor chamar meis, and an animal falls into that bar and dies, potter. He's not, the person who made the bar will not be held liable. Chuzak bar, but if the animal got injured, chayiv, then the person will be liable. Mailav, and says the Gemara, how do we understand that Mishnah? Mimata mamalka choshen, explains the Gemara Kama. Betefach mi'at asara, if the depth of the bar is anywhere between one tefach up to 10 tefachim, misaleka, we assume that this bar does not have the ability to kill, but nezakin ikar, it can cause damage. Ama, so what we see from here, presumably, says the Gemara, is the nezikin kaldahu, that to do damage, is anything can do damage, there's no need for special assessment. So don't we have a raya? Says the Gemara, shmami, no, that ain't oimdum nezakim, there's no need to make any assessments if somebody damaged something else, for cert it had the ability to do so. Says the Mandloy. That's not the way to learn the Mishnah. The way to learn the Mishnah is actually Mamala Mamatka Koshiv. It's be understood just the opposite. Vachkamer. Asora Misaika. Only when there's a depth in the bar of 10 tefachim does it have the ability to kill. Pax Masara Purta. If it's less than 10 tefachim, Nezikin Isa Misaleka. It's never going to be considered the kind of bar that could kill. It may be the kind of bar that could cause damage. Ula Oilam, Eimelach, but says the Gemara still, even if it's not 10 tefachim deep, and it certainly doesn't have the ability to kill, it could do damage, still, Yesh Eimelin Zakim. We have to make that assessment. V'kom Midi Umidi kehech de mitzvah beibinin. We're going to always have to make an assessment if what happened here makes sense, that this should have happened, that this kind of damage could have happened. So we don't have a raya yet. Toshma, the Brisa Masechta Kedushin Daf Chof Tal Rama Beis teaches us. Hikal Enoi. If somebody hits somebody on his eye, the siman, it caused him to be blind. Al Oznoi on his ear, the Chirshoi, and it caused him, Rachman Tzon, to become deaf. Eved Yoitzbehen Lecheris. If somebody did this to an Eved Kanani that he owns, as we often discuss, the halacha is that the Eved goes out with the Chaftal Rosh Evarim. Keneged Einoi Ve'Einoi Roya. But let's say it was done next to his eye, and because of it, he can't see. Neged Oiznoi. He hit something next to his ear, and now he can't hear. Ain Eved Yoitzbehen Lecheris. The Eved doesn't go out free from that kind of a situation. My Tama, La Meshum Dabinin Umdana. We have to do an assessment. And the assessment was that this person did not kill this Eved. So isn't this a raya that we always have to make? Shmamina, isn't this a raya that Yesh Umdana Lezokin? We always have to make an assessment. Says Demara, that's not the reason over there. The reason over there is a different point altogether. Mishun Daminan, because we say, he is the person that caused himself. In other words, the wound, the injury, wasn't that the person who did the injury caused him to get hurt. The person wasn't able to control his emotion. And because the person who got wounded wasn't able to control his emotion, that's why he got hurt. And that's why the Ketanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Hamavazas Chaveiro, somebody frightens somebody else, Pata Medina Adam, he's not Chayiv Medina Adam for what he did, he's only Chayiv Medina Shemayim. Keitzad, Taka Ba'oznoi, if somebody blew a shofar into somebody else's ear, and that caused them to become deaf potter, Achsoi V'taknoi V'chershoi, but if he grabbed him and blew the shofar, then he would be Chayiv, because the fact that he grabbed him. So we see that it's the point of that price is to teach us that it's only considered that you did damage if you actually physically damaged him. So Gemara is still with his question, do we do this assessment for Nazir? Do we do this type of assessment for Nazir? Do we tell you this type of assessment for Nazikin or not? The Gemara has not yet answered that. Here we're learning a new concept. And the concept that we're learning in our Gemara is that there's a difference in halacha where somebody did damage to somebody, or somebody only indirectly caused damage to somebody. He, as we just discussed, where he frightened somebody. Is that, what would be the halacha under those circumstances? So I saw the Cheshukei Chemed discusses an interesting question. There's a person who's unfortunately not a Shomer Shabbos, person's not an observant person, and he has a business, and his business is open on Shabbos, and his son works for him. And what happened now is that this son, who works for the father, who's not observant, is becoming Shomer Shabbos, and he's stopping to come to work, and the father is extremely, apparently, sensitive, and if the son will not come to work on Shabbos, there's a real concern that given that the father is not a well person, he has a heart condition, he has high blood pressure, that could cause the father to have a medical episode. Is there a right for the son to come to work on Shabbos because he's indirectly hurting, could cause serious damage to his father by not coming to work? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in the Cheshukei Chemed says he asked this question to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, and he said that this is certainly not considered a act of injuring somebody. Because he says, as we just finished explaining, the Gemara said, he's the one that caused himself the damage. The son didn't do anything directly to the father. Because the father is apparently emotionally affected by the fact that the son doesn't come to work on Shabbos, is not a reason in any way that the son, that's not a reason in any way that the son should be allowed to go to work, or that if the son doesn't come to work, it should be considered as if the son did anything to affect his father's health. He didn't do anything to affect his father's health if his father has this type of reaction. And it's the concept, and he quotes Al Gemara, Iyu da avisa nafshe. Tashma. So we learn in a braisa. The halacha is that the chamisha dvarim, we speak about nezek tzar, ripu, shevis, and boishes throughout our shiurim. Ayim de maysay, we evaluate how much the person is supposed to receive. V'nois and loy miyad, that we give immediately. Ripu v'shevis, but as far as the doctor payments and the unemployment payments, achis rapa, we evaluate how long is this person going to be not well, and he should be getting doc, and he'll be under medical care, or he's going to have unemployment. We evaluate how long he'll be unemployed. Amdua, and they evaluate it. And we evaluated it should take a certain amount of time, and it ended up taking longer. We only give him that as much as we evaluated that he has to be given. If we made an assessment of Hivri, and he got better, so the amount that we evaluated was more than he really deserves, he still gets everything that he was supposed to get. But what we see from here is, Shmamina, clearly, Yesh Oymel Nezakim, that we make this type of evaluation. Answers the Gemara, Lemeimid Gavra, to evaluate the victim, Kamaliktsa Miyamaka, what this type of injury is all about, the Kamaloymiktsa, how long it takes and how long it doesn't take, and what kind of medical treatment is required, Loikamaloy, says the Gemara, there's no question, the Vadam Dinan, that certainly we do that type of assessment. Kikamaloy, what is the question that we're discussing? Lemeimid Cheftsa, we're talking about the object that did the damage. To do an evaluation, is it possible that it should have done such damage? Can it do this kind of damage or not? That is the question. Mai, says the Gemara Toshima. The Pasuk says, V'hiki ishes re'eyu be'evan o be'egrev. Shimon atamani oimer, ma'egrev miyuchid. When we speak about the fist, shemosa le'eda, the dayonim and the edim have the ability to evaluate them. Af kol, whenever we speak about a situation of damage, it has to be miyuchid shemosa le'edim le'edim, that the Bezdin and the Edim are able to make the evaluation. So says the Gemara, very clear, we hear from here, Shema mina, yesh oymel nezakim shema mina. But since the Gemara just mentioned this braisa, when it comes to the payment of the nezek tzar, ripu, shevis, and boishes, we evaluate the victim. So the Gemara goes back to this halacha for a moment. Amamar, amdua, if they evaluated him for a certain amount of unemployment and a certain amount of doctor bills and hivri, and then he gets better, we give the entire amount of that assessment. Says the Gemara, Masailei L'Rava, this supports what Rava taught us. If somebody was evaluated that he can't work for the entire day because of the injury he suffered, and then Ithbach L'Palgel Yoyma, and he got well in the middle of the day, and therefore he's able to go back to work in the middle of the day, the covered of Vidita, and then he goes back to work in the middle of the day, still, Yavin Leid the Kula Yoyma, he receives the entire day's salary as unemployment, even though he goes back to work. Because what we say is, Min Shemaim Hudarachmalei, he really was deserving a full day unemployment. The fact that he was able to go back to work earlier is a special schus that he has, and that special schus that the victim has, has no bearing on the amount that the mazik has to pay. We learned in the Mishnah, Rokak, v'ibia roik, if somebody spat at somebody else and the spit hit him, the halacha is you have to pay dal meizuz. Amarav loy shanu, ella boy. Only if the spit actually touch the body of the person who was spat at. Aval bigdoy loy. But if it was only on his garment, then this halacha wouldn't apply. Ask the Gemara v'neviki ba'ish b'dvarim. Why, if the spit did not actually hit him, it just touched him, should he not be chayiv? If you embarrass somebody with words, that's still baishus, so this should be no less than that. Answers the Gemara, Amri Merav Mishmed Rabbi Yosef Meravin, Zoy Samaris. From here we learn a very bechidish. Bisha b'dvarim, if somebody just embarrass somebody by saying something negative about him, the halacha is patur miklum, there is no baishus payment. Baishus payment is only for physical baishus. We learned further in the Mishnah, hakol afi kfoidoi. We have to look at who the victim was. So the question is, what does the Tanakhama mean? The Mishnah first gave us specific amounts that are paid for specific acts. And then the Mishnah said, hakol afi kfoidoi. So the Gemara wants to understand, ibayilu Tanakhama l'kula kama, o'la kumra kama. How do we understand the Tanakhama who gave clear amounts? How do we understand his opinion? And the Gemara explains itself. Do we say l'kula kama, the ikka oni, that there is somebody who is a poor person, not a very serious, significant individual, the loy mibayil lishka kolahai, that he doesn't get the amounts that were specified in the Mishnah, a dilma kamer, or maybe the Mishnah means l'chumra, the ikka asher, the bayil meisel tfei, that the amounts that were stated always are the amounts that will be paid. And if the person who was embarrassed is an usher, you'll pay even more. Says the Gemara Toshma. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah continued saying, Midakama, Rabbi Kiva said, Afila Nisha Bisrol, even the poorest of individual in Klai Yisrael, Rayin Aisakila B'nei Chayrim, we look at him as if he was a free person that unfortunately just had a downturn. Shiyadim Nechseim, and everybody, Heim B'nei Avram Yitzvah Yaakov. Shema Minos, so it's Rabbi Kiva that says, that he says that you only have to pay 400 zuz for everybody. Isn't that clear that the Tanakhama, l'kula kamar, the Tanakhama is saying that no, if that there's a person who's not that significant, you don't say, well, he's certainly like Bnei Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, and we'll pay him less. So we see the Tanakhama comes to say that sometimes we actually pay even less. We learned further, the Mishnah told us an episode where somebody took off the head covering of a woman and they said that he has to pay 400 zuz. And then he showed that this woman herself took off her head covering to pick up a little oil. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, so what happened was this person asked Rabbi Kiva for an extension till he have to pay for the damage so he could prove his point. But asked the Gemara, Mi Avinan, do we give a person any extension from having to pay? We don't give him any extension. As soon as Bezin says he has to pay, he has to pay. Answers the Gemara, Kilo Yavina Lezman, when is that halacha that we don't give any extension? When the victim suffers a financial loss. So that financial loss must be compensated immediately. But when we speak about baishus, a baishus payment is not a compensation for any financial loss that the victim suffered. Since it doesn't represent a financial loss that the victim suffered, that, Yavinan, we don't have to pay immediately. But the machlokes rishonim. So now the Gemara differentiated between a payment that represents paying back, compensating for financial loss, versus a payment which isn't for a financial loss. But the Rishonim debate how to understand what the Gemara just said. Does the Gemara mean to say that any payment doesn't make a difference? Nezek, tzar, ripui, shevis, baishes. What we look at is, was there a financial loss that we're compensating, which must be given immediately, or wasn't there, and it doesn't have to be given immediately? Or is this a halacha strictly by baishes? By baishes, the halacha doesn't require that we should pay it immediately. But for all other payments, even though they're not compensation for a loss that the victim suffered, they do have to be paid immediately. It seems to be a subject of a machlokes of the Rambam and the Meiri. So the Mishnah said, Shamrei medes pesach chatzeroi. The Mishnah told us the story where this woman was standing by her door and there was some oil spilled out and she took off her head covering to be able to collect the oil. But Tanya asked, the Gemara went, then the Mishnah continued, Achayva ba'atzmai, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah differentiated between somebody who hurts themselves and somebody else hurt, versus somebody else hurt them. V'tanya, asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, Amrulai Rabbi Kiva, tzalalta b'mayim adirim, you swam in deep water, v'leisa cheres b'yotcha, but you came up just with shards. Adam Rishayim l'chavu ba'atzma, a person is allowed to hurt themselves. So the Gemara's question is, here we're saying that you're allowed to hurt yourself. And our Mishnah says that in Adam Rishayim lai chaltza atzmai. So Ben Yehuda explains this Gemara with a mashal. He says, there was a person that went diving into depths of the sea. He says, and then he comes up what he picked up with just shards. He says, that person feels worse than if he wouldn't have found anything. Because if he wouldn't have found anything, he says there's nothing to be found. But if there was something there, then he's really upset when he just brings back something which is worthless. He says that this person thought that he came up with a great reason why he shouldn't have to pay the woman, and he came back with nothing. He's still going to have to pay. Says the Amar Rav Kasha, Ka'an b'chavala, a person's not allowed to hurt himself, Ka'an b'boishes. But when we speak about embarrassing, so the Gemara is differentiating between embarrassing and boishes. But ask the Gemara, our Mishnah is talking about boishes. It was a case, not where there was any physical damage, it was just boishes. And yet, Tani, we're learning, Hachayva ba'atzmai, even though you're not allowed to do so, potter, answers the Gemara Hachakamalei. This is where you understand the Mishnah. When we speak about embarrassment, Adam Rishoy Levaishas Atzmai. Ela fil b'chavala, even when we speak about hurting yourself, where certainly the halacha is that you're not allowed to hurt yourself, ain't Adam Rishoy L'chavos Atzmai, a person's not allowed to hurt themselves, a cheirim shechav l'boy, but if somebody else injures him, the halacha is that those people were chayiv. Because if somebody, way Rashi explains, if somebody hurts himself, then he's already, so to speak, a problematic individual. How are you hurting yourself? Whereas that doesn't give you right to somebody else to do so. I saw other pshatim, a person who hurts himself, somebody who hits somebody else, the halacha calls him a rasha. But somebody who hurts himself, that doesn't make you into a rasha. Ask the Gemara, v'chi ein odem rishoy l'achbo ba'atzmai, is it true that a person is not allowed to injure himself? V'tanya, the b'raisa m'sachta shvus, Tav Chav Zayin teaches us. Yochel, Nishba Lahara Ba'atzmai. If somebody made a shvu that he's going to do something detrimental to himself, and he didn't do it, Yeh Potter, he shouldn't be chai for the carbon that one is obligated to bring for violating a shvu. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk says, Oy Nefesh Ki Sishova Levate B'Sosayim Lahara Olahetiv. Ma atava, when the Torah speaks about atava, that it's speaking about rishus, so not something they're supposed to do. He just made a shvua that he's going to do something that he's not allowed to do. Af hara rishus, avi nishbal hara atzmai. So I would say from here that somebody made a shvua that he's going to hurt himself, loy hera, he's going to be chayiv for violating the shvua. Now, the braisa over there is calling injuring yourself a rishus. So isn't that a proof that a person may injure himself? Amishmul, no. That's not what the Bryce is speaking about. It's speaking about Eishe B'tanis, that he made a nether, in a tainus. That is the type of shvua you're allowed to make. And that is where the Torah says that you make such a shvua, you're going to be chayiv a carbon shvua. Says the Gemara, the Kavasot. But the Braisa also doesn't just speak about doing something good or bad to yourself. It also speaks about doing good or bad to someone else. The Kavasot Garos Achayrim. Ask the Gemara, Lachshivim B'tanis. So what would be the example that I made a shvua that somebody else should do somebody something bad? Will it mean that I made a shvua that somebody else has to be in a tainus? Achayrim Imoysev Lebetanesa. Can I force somebody to fast? Answers the Gemara, yes, I can. The Madhle Benjuma, I could put him into a closed room where there's no food and he won't have what to eat. So that's how I forced him to do something bad. Vatanya, says the Gemara, but that's not what the Braisa says. What is, says the Gemara, the example of Haras Acherim, where I can make a shvua to somebody else should be hurt? Ekaplani, Vatsaplani. It means that I'm going to hurt him. And the Braisa is teaching us, I can't make such a shvua about somebody else, but I can make such a shvua for myself. Isn't this a proof that you can make a shvua that you're allowed to hurt yourself? That means you're allowed to hurt yourself. Ella, says the Mar Tanoi. This is a Machlokes Tanoim. Ikleman the Amar, there is an opinion that ain't Adam Shoyle Chava Atzmai, the person may not injure himself. Ikleman the Amar, Adam Shoyle Chava Atzmai, he can injure himself. Ask the Gemara, Man Tam the Shamed Le Dama, ain't Adam Shoyle Chava Atzmai. Who is the Man Dama of the opinion that you may not injure yourself? Ile Mahai Tanahu, the Tana that we're going to learn a Braisa. The Pasuk says, the Tanya Va'ach Estimchem Nafshasechem. Edrash, you're going to be held responsible for murder. Rabbi Elazar Emer, Miyad Nafshesechem, Edrash Esdimchem. I'm going to hold you responsible if Chas V'Shalom you kill yourself. So you see that a person is not allowed to hurt themselves. Says the Gemara, that pasuk is a talking about killing. Dilmat Talishani, the person. They were speaking about killing somebody. That person is not allowed to commit suicide, but that doesn't prove anything regarding what we're speaking in our shir about injuring oneself. We don't have a proof that one may not injure himself. El Haytanahu says, and I saw a very beautiful pshat. Here we say that if a person kills himself, the pasuk says, Rabbi Elazar says, Vach, Estimchem, Lenafshesechem Edrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold us responsible for doing so. But if the person is no longer alive, if the person is no longer alive, how could he be held responsible for this? From here we see, say the Mefarshim, the concept of Hasharas HaNefesh, that even though when a person leaves the world, the person is no longer here, his body is no longer here, but his neshama remains forever. And that's what the Torah means to say. It's nafshaseichem edrosh, your neshama that continues to exist forever, will be held responsible for what you just did. Ella, says the Gemara, hi Tanahu. It's this Tana, the Tanya, Mekaren Elameis. There's a mitzvah for the relatives of a person who passed away to rip Kriya. Because how do we know that Chiyuv? The Gemara Masechta Chagiga teaches us that when the Bnei Aaron died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron and his children, his surviving children, Uvigdechem lois sifraimu lois samusu. So we see from here that they had a special halacha that they're not allowed to rip Kriya. From here we see that everyone else who loses a close relative does have to rip Kriya. The Tanya Makan Lames, V'loy Daki Meiri. Even though the halach is B'chukaseyim Loy Salechu, we're not allowed to follow the ways of the Amiri, and they would do so, we're still allowed to rip Kriya. V'loy Daki Meiri, it's not a problem with Daki Meiri. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shmati Shemekar Lameis Yosh Medai, to which Rabbi Elazar comments that if somebody overdoes the Kriya, he's going to get Malkus, Mishum Baal Tashchis, because he's destroying his begodim, which are good begodim. And Tzefer says, the Gemara, Kolshkei, if you're not allowed to rip your begodim, certainly you're not allowed to harm yourself, says the Gemara. The Dim begodim Shani, says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof from there to the Halacha that you can't harm yourself, because begodim are different. The Pseid of the Layahadahu, when you rip your garment in a way that it can't be fixed, it's not reversible. Kihad Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamanim Mechubadasei. Rabbi Yochanan will call his clothing what give me honor. And since a person's honor is so connected to his clothing, that's why we're so sensitive, says the Gemara, to clothing. Rechizda Kavamazgi Bei Hizmi Vahegi. If Rechizda would walk through a place where there were thorns and bushes, Madle Lamani, he would lift up his clothing and let his skin get cut, because he would say, Zeh Mal Arucha, my skin will heal. Zeh Ein Mal Marucha. So we don't have a raya, we can't say the fact that you're not allowed to rip clothing should be a proof that you're not allowed to injure yourself. Ella, so again, we're still looking, how do we know that a person's not allowed to injure himself? Says the Gemara, Hai Tanahu. The Tanya Amar Belazak Faber, Imat HaMeloimer, the Chip Allah Meshachot Allah Nefesh, the Nazir, when he finishes his term, has to bring a carbon for kaporo. But the question for the veirid that he did, the pasuk says. But ask the Gemara, v'chi be'ez a nefesh chotazeh. What aveira did this person do that he has to bring a kaporo for it? El shetzir atzmai minayayin. The Torah gives us the right to drink wine. The nazir we know may not drink wine. So says the Gemara, aloy dvarim kal v'chaymer. The only thing he did was hold himself back from drinking wine. The Torah Nikra Chayta Torah calls him a sinner. Certainly, a Mitzar Atzma called Dover. Somebody who hurts himself, Alach's Kam V'Kama, certainly such a person is considered a sinner. Says the Shita that even though the Alach is that somebody who withholds himself from eating or drinking when he's allowed to, is considered a balavera, that doesn't mean he shouldn't fast. We have to judge every situation independently. On the other hand, I saw the Mefarshim say 2 points. One is that if somebody has a bad dream on Shabbos, the halacha he has to fast. But even though the halacha tells him to fast, he has to be masiv tainus l'tanisoi. The halacha is he has to fast for having fasted on Shabbos. Because a person is not allowed to fast on Shabbos, and even though there was a good reason for him to fast, he has to bring a kapara for that. But it's also interesting to point out that where does the Torah call a Nazar a Chayta? The Torah calls a Nazar a Chayta by the Nazar who's Tameh. Why? If now we're saying that the problem with the Nazar is that he didn't drink wine when he was allowed to drink wine, so then every Nazar should be considered a Chayta. So from here we see, as we just said a moment ago, every situation has to be evaluated. So maybe a person should become a Nazir only in a case where there's no point. He became Tamei as he considered a Chaitim. I saw that the Paiskim say, ask a question. If there's a need for blood, but the person is not donating the blood because of a situation of Atzolus Nefashis, they're paying for people to donate blood. The halacha is, can't somebody donate? Here we're learning that a person is not allowed to injure himself. So when there's a purpose for Atzolah, where there are people who need blood, maybe then you're allowed to do so. But are you allowed to do so for pay? So there are Paiskim that say, even though this person is doing it for pay, but at the end of the day, the person who's going to receive the blood is going to be saved and may be mutter. Which opens up another interesting discussion in the Paiskim. Here we're learning that a person is not allowed to hurt himself. So of course, if somebody, Rachmana Litzon, is sick and he has to go through a procedure, an operation, which involves opening up the person or hurting the person, but that's the refuah. But what would be the halacha about plastic surgery? A person who's going through plastic surgery is not doing it because he's sick and this is the way he's going to have refuah. He's just doing it to look better. Would that be permissible or not? So Rav Moshe, in the Shas of Chuba, says, Moshe Chayesh Shemish Bet Chelik Beis, Simon Samach Vav, makes an interesting point. He says that the Rambam, where it speaks about this halacha, adds a very interesting word. He says, what does the Rambam mean when derech netzoyim? He says the Rambam means derech netzoyim. It means when you want to hurt the person, when you want to wound the person, that's what it's asur. He says what the Rambam is trying to teach us is that if it's for a constructive purpose, even though it's not absolutely medically mandated, it would be mutter. And that's also the opinion I saw of Rav Libesitzal, Nishal Shuvas Beis Avi, the Chak Tziyakov, the Mishnah Halachas, are all of the opinion that plastic surgery, just for the sake of looking nicer, is permissible. On the other hand, somebody who is suffering from a toothache, and the doctor says, I could pull your tooth, or I could treat you with whatever type of medical treatment, and you wouldn't have to lose your tooth. And the person perhaps prefers having his tooth pulled because it's cheaper, it takes less time. The halacha is he's not allowed to do so, the Paiskim say, because you're only allowed to do something when it's medically, you're only allowed to hurt yourself when it's medically mandated. Here, it's not medically mandated, so you have no right to have your tooth pulled. And that's what I saw was what the stipler used to tell people, they need to be concerned about pulling teeth. Of course, we can't go away from this Gemara without speaking about smoking. And the Chofetz Chaim already, when his time, spoke about, they started just speaking about the dangerous effects of smoking. And he says, the Torah says, "V'nishmatam ma'od lam tzeichem." We're learning in our Gemara, then ein adam rishoy l'chavel atzmoy, a person has no right to injure himself. And if, as we know, smoking is so very dangerous, the halacha clearly is that one may not smoke. It's clearly a violation. Similarly, I saw that the Sukkah Chemin has a discussion. Is someone allowed to donate a kidney for payment? And he's donating the kidney for payment in order that he should have, he owes people money, and this is the way he wants to pay off his debt. Certainly, our Gemara says that one has never a right to put himself into danger, and if the person's donating a kidney for the right reason to help the person who needs a kidney, that is commendable. But under other circumstances, it's not. And in fact, there's a tshuva from the Noi de Behuda, and Huda Medur Tinyana Yerdei Simen Yud, where he asks, is somebody allowed to go hunting for animals? The Noi de Behuda says he doesn't understand how a person has a right to put himself into a situation of danger. And therefore, the Noi de Behuda says that certainly if you're doing it for sport, that's not what somebody should do, put himself into a case that he's going to be in danger. Only in a case where that becomes how he makes a living from catching animals. Again, perhaps that shouldn't be what you do. We have to be careful with ourselves. That, the Noi de Behuda says, may be mutter. We learned, HaKoytzen Tziyasai, you're not allowed to cut off your tree. Even though you're not allowed to do so, you're potter, but if somebody else cuts off your tree, he'll be chayv. Tani Rabbi Bechanaka made a rav. Shoyre Rakta, if somebody says to somebody else, you killed my animal, Netiyasi Katsatsta, you cut off my trees. And then the person says, Atamati Laharga, you were the one that told me to do this, to kill the animal. Atamati Lakatsai, potter. Amale says the Gemara, Rav said to Rabbi Babachana, Imkain, if this is the Alocha, Leshafta Chai Labriyasai, the society will break down. Kol Kamine, can a person say that you told me to do so and will believe him? Amale says the Gemara, when Rabbi Babachana heard Rav's reaction, he asked them, Ismei, should I delete
this braisa amaloy. Don't. Tasagim misnisach, we're gonna explain the braisa bishara imilik chariga. Then if it's an animal that was going to be killed anyway, or ilan amal mitzitza. So there the person could say, since this animal was going to be killed, this tree was going to be cut, you didn't do anything wrong by cutting it. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so what's his claim? If this tree was going to be cut, why do you have a claim when you say that I cut down your tree? Damale, I'm not being allowed a mitzvah. I want to do the mitzvah of cutting down the tree, and you took away the mitzvah. And the Gemara introduces now a new concept. The Torah says that when we kill a bird or a chaya, the shafach hastama v'kisah ba'ofer. The halach is, misha shafach, the one that does the actual shchita, should be the one to do the kisui hadam. And the Gemara says that there was somebody that shechted an animal, a chay or oif, and somebody else called him chaver v'kisa, somebody else went and did the kisui hadam. The chay v'gamliel litain le'asar zuvim. The Torah said that this person who deprived the person of doing the mitzvah and being able to make the bracha, the halacha is he had to pay a sar zuhuvim 10 gold pieces for what he did. So Tosfos points out that we've learned in Amasechta, we're going to speak about it again in Amasechta, that this we don't do knas in chutz laretz, we don't do knas altogether zman hazeh, and therefore this is considered a knas, and it's not the type of payment that we take b'zman hazeh, and certainly in chutz laretz. But the Meiri says that the Rif disagrees and says that this payment applies even b'zman hazeh. And if somebody who deprived somebody of a mitzvah and he deprived somebody of being able to make a bracha, the halach is that even b'zman hazeh, the halach will be that the person will have to pay for the damage, for what he deprived him of being able to do a mitzvah, for what he deprived him of being able to do, for being able to make a bracha. I saw a very interesting question that what happened if I went and I learned with somebody else, this child. So I sort of deprived the father of the ability to learn with that child. Will I be chayif for doing so? And I saw that's really interesting machlokes. It's machlokes between Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that the mitzvah of teaching Torah is a mitzvah that is given to a father. And since it's a mitzvah that's given to the father, somebody who takes that, deprives the father of that mitzvah, is held responsible. On the other hand, Reb Baruch Ber held, yes, a father should teach his son Torah, but the mitzvah is that everybody should learn. And if somebody else teaches Torah, it's not considered, the father has to see that his son, v'shinantum avanecha, should learn Torah, but it's not that it's his personal mitzvah. The Pasuk says that when Eliezer met Rivka, the Pasuk says, v'yikach ish nezim zav, Beka Mishkaloi, Vishnei Tzmidim Al Yada, Asara Zav Mishkalim. The Torah goes out of its way to express how much the jewelry Eliezer gave Rivka weighed. Why does the Torah say this? Because when Eliezer met Rivka and he determined that this was the woman that was supposed to be Yitzchak's wife, he said, Baruch Hashem Alakei Adonai Avram. So now we understand. He gave her the opportunity to make a bracha. And we just learned that every bracha is worth asara zehuvim. So now he said, because I met you, and because since I met you, I have the opportunity to make a bracha. So Baruch Hashem, I get the opportunity to make a bracha. And once I get the opportunity to make a bracha, you deserve asara zehuvim, because every bracha is worth asara zehuvim.